I wanted to talk about a subject today and just stop it, but it looks as if it will become a series so that it will bless all of us. Amen. My spiritual father coach said, there are times when you release too much, not much is taken sometimes. So I'll have to dilate and dissect and trisect and bisect so that all the set will be into your hands. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word coming with precision, with accuracy, simplicity, and clarity. I pray, O God, that think through my mind, speak through my lips. Let the words of divine power be released. Let your divineness be shown in this atmosphere, that we will leave here filled with power. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to go to the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 4 to 15. Luke, chapter 8, verse 4 to 15. Amen. Technical team, let's get the instrumental one, music there for me, instrumental, so that it goes on whilst we are talking here. Amen. Are you there yet? Luke chapter 8. Not yet. So let's have the scripture on the screen. I know God is going to bless somebody today. This started in the sense that Jesus was sitting down and he sat, and when he sat down, he realized that a lot of multitude drew closer to him. And he decided to talk about these parables. In Matthew, it gives us more light on the fact that he didn't just give a parable, but he gave several parables. And you and I will understand that anytime, even as a preacher, anytime we get opportunity that you prepare and you come to church and you see some nice faces, strange faces around, you want to preach your whole heart out. And oftentimes, when we have few people, people tend to show lease of, they don't give out their best because they get discouraged by the few people. And when you have few people, there are things you can do. And when there are more people, there are things you can do or you will want to do. But this story is so profound that Jesus, there were not few people, but there were multitudes of people. And he decided to talk about this because it was so dear to his heart. Hallelujah. And Luke chapter 8, the verse number 4 says, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. Watch out here. A sower went out to sow what? His seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Praise the Lord. The fowls of the air were devoured. And some fell upon a rock. And some, as it was sparked up, it withered away because it lacked what? Moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And another fell on good grounds and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried. Watch out here. He did what? He cried, because this was the state of the believer. This was the state of the Christians. This was the state of the people who followed him. He that has ear to hear, let him hear. Praise the Lord. And the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto them, he said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not what? Understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Come on, say joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, and go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good grounds are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Amen. Look at the face of your neighbor and say, bear fruit. Say to your neighbor, bear fruit. Hallelujah. I want you to look at the face of your neighbor and say, neighbor, be fruitful. Say, neighbor, be fruitful. Don't be reckless. Amen. So I want to minister on the subject of entitled, be fruitful. On the subheading, don't be reckless. Amen. Say to your neighbor, don't be reckless. The Gospel of Matthew, I'm left with 30 minutes, be with me. I'll use 25 minutes and we go. Amen. The Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke are referred to as the Synoptic Gospel because they include many of the same stories offering similar sequence. And this story is portrayed in all the Synoptic Gospels. Praise the Lord. And it tells you how important it was for them to all record this particular parable. Why? Because it was important. Jesus made it so clear to us. It was important so much that he even cried after he said it. Not many of the parables did he cry after he said it, but this was one of the parables he said it because he cried after saying it, because it means so much to him and it grieved his heart. The parable of the sower, also known as the parable of the four soils. Say soils. It founds itself in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 to 9, and Mark chapter 4, verse 2 to 9, and Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 8, as I've said now. After presenting this parable, he went further to interpret it, and we got to see that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not in John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. God wants us to bear fruit in all good things, praise the Lord. God wants you to what? To bear fruit. God wants you to do what? To bear fruit. Say to your neighbor, God wants you to bear fruit. How did I notice that? When God called man in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, the Bible said, and God blessed them. God blessed man and woman. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. When you become fruitful, then you engage yourself into multiplicity. Nobody can multiply without becoming fruitful. Come on, be with me here. I'm going somewhere with this. Nobody can multiply without being what? Fruitful. You become fruitful, then you can multiply. So the mandate given to man is that man must be what? Must be fruitful. Then I visited, that was in Genesis, then I visited Matthew chapter, when you read Genesis chapter 1 verse 20, it said that be fruitful and multiply. And replenish the earth and subdue it. You can't subdue it if you don't multiply. If you can't multiply if you don't become fruitful. Praise the Lord. So you can only subdue and have dominion after you become fruitful. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air. And over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So you must understand that fruitfulness is the beginning of greatness. If God wants you to multiply, you must become fruitful. If God wants you to have dominion, you must be fruitful. If as Crossfire have been placed in this atmosphere such as this, if as God has given us a mandate to have dominion, to spread out, we must first start bearing fruit. Without the bearing of the fruit, we shouldn't even expect ourselves to multiply. We shouldn't even expect ourselves to have dominion. The starting point of greatness is to bear fruit. Praise the Lord. So it is important the believer begin to bear fruit. I want you to put your hands together for these young ones here. Put your hands together. I like what I'm seeing here. Amen. I like what I'm seeing there. Amen. So we want to become what? We want to bear fruit of set character. And as we bear fruit of set character, it takes dominion. It takes control over the ministry. Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere. It's loaded here. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 says, when God, Jesus gave the disciples a mandate, he said what? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. It talks about what? It talks about being fruitful. So the believer must be fruitful to create. When you become fruitful, every fruit becomes fruitful when it produces its own kind. So what Jesus was telling the disciples, I want you to replicate set attitude. I want you to replicate set disciples. I want you to replicate it because it is very important for you to produce your own kind. If a fruit that is like a mango begin to bear orange fruit, there is a problem. God wants you to multiply in your kind. God has called some of us as prophet. God has called some of us as an apostle. He wants us to occupy in the place of service so that we will replicate our kind. Hallelujah. Somebody under the sound of my voice, God is about to empower you to bear fruit. Say to your neighbor, I will bear fruit in Jesus' name. If you have read, I've read this story several times, and I've even learned it during the time in my Sunday school, I know that a sower went to sow. But every now and then when I heard this story, I thought this was a sower who went to sow, and maybe he was sitting in something like an aircraft, and he was flying in the sky, and he started dropping the seed, and the seed started flying everywhere, and the seed, some fell on stones, and some fell on good soil, and some fell on tongues. I thought he was just flashing the, you know, he was just throwing the seed. Hallelujah. I thought he was doing that. The Bible uses the word farmer. Come on, say farmer. The word farmer tells you that he's not reckless. He's very particular. He's skillful. He's not just a doctor sowing seed. He's a farmer. He's a farmer. He knows what he's doing. He knows his left and right. And before a farmer sow a seed, there is something we call pre-treatment of the seed and the soil before sowing. Before a farmer sow a seed, he prepares the seed and prepares the soil. But in spite of this, and you understand there are different, when you talk about preparing the land, the land must be cleared. You have to bend the weeds on the land, clear the weeds and take the stones and the stuff from the soil. All of this preparation took place normal, but yet still, you can't run away from the soils. There are methods of sowing seeds. One of them is broadcasting. I did a bit of agriculture in school. And one of the ways of sowing seed is using the broadcasting method. And the broadcasting method is where you hold the seed and just sprinkle it, splash it around. Amen. Then we have other method. We call it transplanting method, the planting method. And there are several methods. Hallelujah. But one of the methods he used, or he decided to use, was what we call the broadcasting method. This is the scattering of seed by hand all over a prepared field. A prepared what? Field. So one thing I want you to understand is that the farmer prepared the land, but yet still, there were some things that we'll deal with right now. He scattered the seed on a prepared field. This tells us that he doesn't force himself on you. What do I mean? When he's not using the the kind of sowing where he digs the soil and puts it in it by force and covers it. No, he doesn't do that. And that is one way God doesn't force himself on people. He doesn't force his word in you. He will release his word in an atmosphere, and you must be able to understand by the grace of God to catch what he's trying to throw to you. He's using the broadcasting method, which means that not only has the seed got a role to play, the soil also has got a role to play. Giving us a free will is very important. One of the beauty of this method of sowing is that the farmer has already presented or perfected the seed. And the preparation of the seed has been targeted to maximize productivity. But the grounds has a role to play in the optimum achievement of this process. So over here, any word of God you are hearing right now, you have an obligation to play a role, otherwise the word of God will not play its role in your life. The word that is coming has been prepared by God for such a time as this. That is why he said, he that has got ears, let him hear, because not all will hear, even though it is being spoken. Brother Edward said to us that even though I can hear you speaking French, I don't understand. The reason why we hear is to enable us to all to understand. If you don't understand what you hear, it would be better if you don't even hear it at all. Praise God. The individual who receives a word from God has got a role to play in the process of actualizing the word to come to pass. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, it said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee as a prophet unto the nation. That was the same thing God did. When he placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he's already prepared everything for them adequately to contain their purpose. So if you have been born for such a time as this, it means that you are not born recklessly. You have been born with a purpose, with an assignment. And everything you need in your life, the farmer has made sure that he's placed it around you. But it is up to you to discover by the spirit of discernment, to decide and to purpose yourself, whether you want to utilize it or not. In Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 5, the Bible said, and when much people were gathered around him, verse number 5 says what? A sower went out to sow his seed. You don't decide what you want on your soil. God decides to give you the kind of seed he wants to give you. You don't tell yourself what you want your destiny to be. He's already predestined you for a destiny. And as he speaks his word to you, it is up to you to subject your body to conform to his image. He has already got an image. The Bible said, for whom he knew, he predestined. And who he for knew, he called. And all of this thing is for you to be what? To be conformed to the image of a son. He's already got an image there that you have to conform to. You don't have to conform to any other image than to conform to the image of Jesus. Now the Bible said he went to sow, and some seed, my God. This farmer doesn't waste a seed. But this seed, upon all the preparation he's done on the ground, in the soil, or wherever he's prepared the field, the preparation he's done on the field, in spite of all his preparation, it didn't stop a stony place to be there. The Bible said that some fell on wall. He said some fell on the wall, on the wayside. The verse 5 says that, and the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Say wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. The word trodden means is a past participle, the past participle of the word to tread. The word to tread means to set down the foot or the feet in walking or stepping. It means that to step or to walk or to trample upon us to all, to press it. So it means that when something has been placed at the wayside, it means positioning something so that people will step on it. Praise the Lord. When somebody's, when the wayside is a place where you put things back in this country. If you don't want your TV again, you put it beside the wayside. And it is a sign to tell somebody, pick it up. Anytime we come to church and we hear the word of God, there are some species within the church that in spite of what God speaks to them, they place the word of God in the place of recklessness. They place it in the place where they leave the responsibility of the growth of the seed to be just dependent on God. They leave it in the place where if somebody picks it up, somebody picks it up. How can you put your TV on the roadside and believe that nobody will pick it up? It means that you give the responsibility of protection in the hands of a probability. Praise the Lord. It means there are some folks who come to church, and when a very important, respectable, very confidential issues are released to them, the word of God is being preached to them. When you give God to somebody, he placed God on the wayside, which means a place of recklessness. I don't really care about it. And anytime you put something somewhere without a strong protection upon it, somebody will come for it. How many of us have been in church and very important information have been given, but because we refuse to write it down to remind ourselves, we forgot about it and we allow somebody to steal that word from us. I got to understand how powerful this was until I sat here one Sunday last week and I was more interested in the scriptures and I was taking note of the scriptures where the quoting was done, where the scriptures were being referred to, but I forgot to write down the point when Brother Emmanuel stood here and said what was the first point that was mentioned. Then I discovered that I had it but I've forgotten about it, and that is how delicate the word of God is. It is so precious that when you don't value it, it goes away. Hallelujah. How many of us have heard something so important and we decided to place it on the roadside? Ask your neighbor, what do you have on the roadside? This talk about how valuable we regard the word of God, how much importance we place on the word of God when preaching is going on. Lack of copying notes is a way of placing his word on the wayside. One would have to do something to protect and to preserve that which they are hearing. If you want to remember it, you can't just remember it. The Bible said, it said, write the vision down so that them that read it will run with it. Write it down. Say to your neighbor, write something down. The wayside is an attitude of recklessness. The word recklessness means lack of regard for the danger or consequence of one's action. If we want to see the glory of God in our life, we can't place his word on the wayside. When we live our life without vision or any ambition, it's a wayside lifestyle. Some of us say that whatever God has said he would do it anyway. It is a demonic deception. There is a role for the seed. There is a role for the word, for the soil, where it plays. There are times we don't realize that we have placed certain things at the wayside. But before we notice, bears are coming against us. The bears represent demonic attack, demonic influences. They come on our way. And any now and then, when you realize that something of yours is being picked by demonic forces because of your recklessness, you must stand up and begin to fight and begin to contend and make sure that you don't lose any again. I took a lesson why there are times we don't realize we've placed it on the wayside, but before we discover, it's already there. At that moment, it is not time to blame oneself, but rather a time to fight to keep the word of God. Praise the Lord. When you are a child who don't allow your parent to control and to direct your path, it is placing your life on the wayside. The wayside is a place where nobody is responsible. So when you live an irresponsible way of life or living, it means that you have been placed on the roadside and so little can somebody do to protect you. Some of us place the things of God on the wayside. We say things like this: it is his work, he will take care of it. Some of us, even in the house of God, we place the rose of God, the work of the ministry, we place it on the roadside. We do it as and when it is convenient. You can't receive the blessing that comes out of it until you come to the point to discover that the things of God are not placed on the roadside. Say to your neighbor, don't place anything on the roadside. The Bible said that Paul said to Timothy, I know I've released certain important words in your life. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, it said, these things I command and teach you. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to all, to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Precious one, under the sound of my voice, the Bible said, blessed is he that seated not in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of the Lord. He's not a reckless person. He meditate upon this day and night. And because all of these things will happen to this man, when this man decide to do, he plants, he seated not in the seat of scornful, delighted himself in the word of the Lord, meditating upon it day and night, that man shall be like a plant planted by the riverside, bearing fruit at its own season. You can't bear fruit because you are just a fruit. You bear fruit because you position yourself and you do something about what will cause you to bear fruit. Bearing fruit is not automatic. There are birds flying day and night. I know farmers, when they plant a seed, when they leave the fruit on the plant, before they come, birds are eating. There are birds that have been positioned to eat, and the way for them to eat is to eat from reckless people. And if the church becomes so reckless, and we don't commit ourselves and be dedicated and confining our things and well protected in the house of God, in the things of God, we will lose the kingdom and the things of the kingdom. Why? Because we decided to place the things of God on the wayside. It doesn't matter the power of the word, the power of the seed. It has not got power to produce itself. It can only produce itself when we position it, and it can reproduce. Don't place. How can it be that I thought Jesus was a lavish man? Yes, he was a lavish man. But he said, we don't give such food to dogs. Which means there are dogs around. And if you place your food in the hands of a dog, he will waste your resources. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 to 19 said that, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou mightest war a warfare. When you receive the prophetic word from God, it is not to say for you to go and sleep. Everybody under the sun, at the moment that I speak to you, there are some of us who have placed these words on the wayside. Every now and then, he's not talking about a field that he's not prepared. But because of our recklessness, our laziness, we place charitable, something that is precious, we place it on the roadside. We place a good seed in the roadside. The reason why some of us can't see the glory of God in our life is that everything God says to us, we place it on the roadside. Ask your neighbor, what are you placing on the roadside? It is a decision you make, because I thought he said, the poor you always have with you. Among you, you will always have people who place things on the roadside. But it is up to you to make a decision that with you and your family, you will not place anything on the roadside. When you place things on the roadside, It's like going to school and giving your success or your passing or failure in the hands of an imaginable person you don't see. When you go to school, I know people who go to grammar schools and come out with poor results. It is not where you find yourself that makes you, but also it is not all alone about the seed that makes it have a great harvest. It is also dependent on the soil. How many of the things have you placed in the place of recklessness? Come on, say to your neighbor, protect what you have. Come on, say, neighbor, please protect what you have. My Bible says, I'm ending in the next 3 minutes. The Bible said there was a man called Joseph who had a dream about himself. And the Bible said he took the dream and placed it on the roadside. And the Bible said that the bears started coming for it. He didn't know that telling people about the things of God, saying to the wrong people about the things of God, talking to the wrong people about the things that are supposed to be preserved. The Bible said his brothers happened to be a wayside, and immediately his brothers started attacking him. But my Bible said immediately they started attacking him. He said, I will not allow the bears to eat my fruit. He said, I will not allow the bears to eat my destiny. And the Bible said he stood up and started fighting. He was put in the pit. The pit is one way of the bears. The bears will put you in the pit. The bears will put you in prison. But my Bible said, in spite of all things, Joseph kept the faith. And he started fighting for the mistake he did. Had he not known that placing the dream in front of his brothers will cause certain bears to come against him, my Bible said he rise up and said, to hell with my mistake. Somebody under the sound of my voice, maybe God gave you a promise and you have placed that promise on the roadside. I came here to tell you that the word of God will not go back to him void until it accomplished the purpose for which it was sent. If you will go back and fight and take back what belongs to you, you shall see the glory of God. I am here to tell you that the time of recklessness is over. All those who are reckless don't see the glory of God. The Bible said the disciples placed the vision of God on the roadside, and they didn't wait in the upper room. But my Bible said when they went back, something happened. God said, I should tell somebody, go back. Go back to the place of his word. He said, go back and come out of recklessness. It is about time the church rise up and begin to know that if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and get themselves out of the wayside, they shall see the glory of God. He cannot do anything much until the people of God begin to humble themselves and take themselves out of the place of reproach and take themselves out of the place of neglect. The Bible said, when the king said, if you want to serve God, I will kill you. My Bible said they placed God on the wayside. But my Bible says Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we will not place God on the wayside. And the Bible said when they put them in the furnace, the Bible said there appear another man. I see the Lord appearing in your situation because you refuse to place him on the wayside. I have already spoken the word of God to us today that this month and the subsequent month, it is time for us to bring two people or more. You can place it on the wayside. But I came to tell you that God said I should tell you, if you don't do it, he will cause another man to do it, because his words will not come to him void. When he speaks his words, it comes to pass. Give your neighbor a high five and say, neighbor, don't be reckless. You may be reckless before, but from today, no more recklessness. God wants you to be fruitful. You cannot be reckless and produce good fruit. There are people who are reckless. They produce fruit, but their fruit are not good fruit. But I promise you today, under the sound of my voice, God is empowering somebody to be fruitful. God is giving you the importance of being fruitful. He said, do not be reckless. Say to your neighbor, don't be reckless. Put your hands together for Jesus. I know some of you want to be reckless, but you have to be responsible. When God gives you a mandate, you need to be responsible. Don't leave it all in the hands of God. Be what? Be fruitful. Stand on your feet. You want to hold the hand of your neighbor. You want to pray for them that everywhere they have placed something of importance, may God help them to pick it up. Any bird that attacked them, may they redeem them. Begin to pray for your neighbor right now. The time of recklessness is over. This time of recklessness is over. We will not place the things of God in front of dogs. We will not place the things of God in a place without protection. I thank you. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I give you the praise and the glory. Father, we give you glory. We give you praise today. May we not be reckless, O God. May we not be reckless, O God. Farmer, O God, may we not be reckless. Everywhere we have put your word, and make the best come for it. Today, let there be restoration. Let there be restoration. Any bears that have come for our children, because we place them in the wrong place. Lord, I pray that let there be restoration. Everything of ours that have been put in the wrong place, Lord, begin to bring it back. In the mighty name of Jesus. As I pray right now, God, everywhere we have put something of importance, everywhere we have put our destiny, as we pray this day, oh God, let us take it back. In the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that you will lack nothing good. Everything that you have placed in a reckless place, God will restore it to you. And as he restores it to you, may you never lose sight of it again. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Take your seat in highly place. Amen. So when you come to church, it is not all who are good soil. But some of them, they will place the word of God on the wayside. Amen. But today, your recklessness is over. You are no more going to be reckless. In Jesus' name. Amen. We want to take our tithe offering.